The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend on this show, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We'll share some insights, we make some connections, and hopefully we'll have a bit of fun. I'm your host, Melissa Fugazza, and today we'll be discussing President Nelson's address, Think Celestial. For this episode, I have invited a special guest, my friend, Braden Brinkerhoff. Braden, say hello to our audience.
Hello.
Why don't you start off by introducing yourself? Share a little bit about yourself.
I am a recent high school graduate, and I am preparing to serve a full-time mission for the church.
That's so awesome. I know Braden, he's in my ward, and last year when he was a senior in high school, I had all of the oldest youth come over to my house to record an episode for this podcast, and unfortunately the recording was corrupt and it didn't work out, so I felt so bad. But Braden doesn't even know this, but I was sitting in sacrament meeting on Sunday, and I was thinking over who I should ask to do this recording with me. I love asking people like me, regular member of the church, you know, we're just normal, everyday people. I love asking people to get on and talk about conference talks. And we were sitting in church, I was sitting in sacrament meeting, and you're sitting a few rows ahead of me. And I looked over and I just got this feeling like you should ask Braden Brinkerhoff. So here we are. So I'm super excited to have you be on here. And I'm really excited about this talk because I have to say, this is probably the most quoted talk, don't you think? The most talked about talk of last conference.
Yeah, this talk is an amazing talk.
Isn't it so good? What's funny is, long story short, I have this hydro flask and I wanted to put stickers on it so I could, you know, identify it. And I found these really cute stickers online on Etsy, and they literally say Think Celestial, and they have a sun on them. And so every day I see the Think Celestial, and I know it's everywhere. I see it on social media. I see it on stickers. I see it everywhere. So it definitely has created a slogan, if you will, for people to think about. So to kick off our discussion, before we even get into the talk, let me try to think how to word this. So since this talk came out, and since President Nelson has invited us to Think Celestial, how has that changed you?
Well, one of the things that he, I guess, challenged us to do, I'm scrolling through this talk, trying to see if I can find his exact wording. So as you think celestial, your heart will gradually change. You'll want to pray more often and more sincerely. Please do not let your prayers sound like a shopping list. When I had heard that in this last conference, I felt a twinge of guilt. A lot of our prayers can get very repetitive and very, how would you say, just
in the name
of Jesus Christ, amen, you know.
Yeah, rushed maybe.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, we're always taught in primary, like, okay, so you start by addressing your Heavenly Father. You state all the things that you're grateful for, and then you ask for the things you want, and then you end in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, in a way, that formula that we have for prayer is kind of like just a shopping list. Like, what do you want and what do you have? And he talks in here how it should be a ongoing discussion almost. And that's been something that I've been trying to do and be better at since I heard that talk.
And since you've done that, I like that very part that you read, the part right after it says, the Lord's perspective transcends your mortal wisdom. His response to your prayers may surprise you and will help you to think celestial. Have you seen that by changing how you pray? Something changed?
I definitely can say that I've felt a stronger presence of the Spirit.
I like that. I've had the same approaches you as prayer. All growing up, I'm a very literal person, and so learning exactly how to pray, like you were describing, say calling Heavenly Father by name, list off things you're thankful for, list off things you want, and in the name of Jesus Christ, it to me was like, oh, okay, that's what I do. And so my prayers were very much like that, very routine, very whatever. And only in the most recent years have I realized exactly what you just said, is that they should be a continuous conversation, which it doesn't take much to think about, but for some reason I didn't realize that. Heavenly Father knows exactly what we're thinking, but it's us that needs to learn how to learn how to talk to him. And if we're just listing off things, that's more of like a robotic thing than it is an actual real conversation, right? And
Yeah.
so I do, I like that. I like how you pulled that out immediately, because that was actually a part I had highlighted on the talk too, that I think in order to know Heavenly Father better, obviously we need to actually be talking to him. Instead of just listing off things that we think he needs to hear when he already knows those things. So that's really cool. So going back a little bit, just because there are a couple things that I just wanted to point out or talk about at the beginning. So here we are. President Nelson is 99 years old. He's going into his 100th year of living. That's pretty amazing. And, he starts out his talk by saying people have asked him, what has he learned in all of his years of life? And I like that in this opportunity that he has, instead of talking about the secrets of old age or, just ways to overcome things to live as old as him, he shares how amazing and fabulous the plan of salvation is. And one thing I really loved about the kind of the avenue he took on it was he said, what we do in this life really matters. And I love that because, we learn as a member of the church that this is not the end, right? That we existed before this life and we will exist after this life. But I know that there are so many talks out there and things like that that talk about how this life is just like a tiny blip, but how truly important this blip is, because it decides, we decide during this blip of time where we're ultimately going to be in eternity, which is a really big deal, right? So I really like how he kind of pulled that out. And of course, he said that having a deeper understanding of the plan of salvation and of Jesus Christ and his atonement is the most important thing. So further down, he says, an understanding of God's fabulous plan takes the mystery out of life and the uncertainty out of our future. It allows each of us to choose how we will live on earth and where we will live forever. I'm assuming you're 19 years old, right? How does that have, knowing the plan of salvation, knowing how that can take the mystery out of life and the uncertainty out of your future, how does that make me feel?
Well, at being at this stage of life, that there is a lot of uncertainty in the future. Like, what kind of career am I gonna go into? And like, am I gonna get a wife and a family? And all sorts of these questions that just are everywhere. And I think just studying and learning more about, our Heavenly Father's plan will really kind of help us understand that while these things are necessary, they will come to us in time, and that as we have faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ, that Heavenly Father will provide for our needs and make sure that we do have those opportunities, so that basically just Heavenly Father loves us all. He loves all of his children, and he will provide all of us with equal opportunity to receive, well, no, not receive, in order to keep his commandments. And I just think that's really amazing that, there are a lot of people who don't know if they'll ever get married or ever be able to have kids, and that is a commandment of God. But whether it is in this life or the next, he will I find it very comforting to know that he will allow us to have that opportunity to gain a spouse or have opportunities to gain a testimony. Or I'm gonna come up with a third thing, but I just can't.
It's okay. I love what you're talking about. I think as you were talking and sharing your thoughts about that, it takes a lot of the pressure off, doesn't it? When as long as you are living righteously and following the covenant path, as President Nelson calls it, all of those factors, all of those unknowns, things you're talking about of, you know, am I going to get married? Am I going to have kids? What career am I going to have? It kind of takes that world pressure off in the sense that no matter what happens, if you're righteous, everything will be given you it eventually, right? You will be able to have those opportunities. And I know for me, I have family members and friends that were that they haven't gotten married, they didn't have the opportunity, they couldn't have children, or you know, they were denied that for a time, or no matter what they do, they just their career is not enough, or they are feeling unfulfilled in their lives, but they are good, faithful, righteous people. And I know if they continue doing those things, doing the good things that you're talking about, those things will come to them. Maybe not in this life, but we know it's this life isn't the end, right? So I really like that thought. That really does make things just, I don't know. I just feel a lot more calm about it, right? So that's really cool. Okay, I love the in the next paragraph, he says, here is the great news of God's plan. The very things that will make your mortal life the best it could be are exactly the same things that will make your life throughout all eternity the best it could be.
Yeah, I have that one highlighted.
So what do you like about that part?
Oh, what's not to like about it? I mean, what a wonderful and merciful Heavenly Father we have, that the things that we need to do to obtain the celestial kingdom, those very same things will bring us joy and happiness on this earth. Likewise, the same things that would not get you there would bring you misery and pain here. Like, he's trying to make it easy for us to get there.
You're right. I love that. I really feel that that's true. You're not a parent yet, but once you get married and have children, because I know obviously one day you will, it's a little bit, I don't want to say, I guess it is just a little bit easier maybe in a way to see Heavenly Father, how he is with us, his children, when you have your own children. And you want to give your child everything you possibly can. It's just something in you. You want to give them as many opportunities as you can, as many chances as you can, no matter what they do, no matter what your child does, you still want to just, you want them to be happy. That is truly the thing you want for your children. And obviously, if you want your child to be happy, you want to help your child find those things to help them be happy, right? And so Heavenly Father definitely. You were right earlier, what you said. He loves all of his children. He wants all of his children to be happy. He wants all of his children to go return home with him. So he's going to find all these opportunities and all these things to do that. I really like that a lot. I think that's really cool. Yeah.
Just remind me, I have like this paper posted up on my wall. I just like came home from like work or school or something, and I found this on my bed. My dad had put together this sheet called Instructions for Being Happy and Successful. And that same day, I read through it and loved it so much. I have it posted. I should have it framed up on my wall. So, number one, get up early. And he even quoted scriptures. So DNC 88:124. I guess now that I've said that, I need to pull it up and read it. Cease to be idle. Cease to be unclean. Cease to find fault one with another. Cease to sleep longer than is needful. Retire to thy bed early, that ye may not be weary. Arise early, that your bodies and your minds may be invigorated. And the second one is, don't be wasteful, do be grateful. And there he quotes a few scriptures. There's DNC 58:27 through 28. Verily I say, men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause and do many things of their own free will and bring to pass much righteousness. For the power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves, and inasmuch as men do good, they shall in no wise lose their reward. And he also quoted Matthew 25:15 through 30. This one is kind of long. This is the parable of the talents. Okay, I think we all know this one well enough.
That's a really good one to put for that
Yeah.
on the list. So what
And
else is on
then
there?
also for that section is DNC 89, 11 through 12. Every herb in the season thereof, and every fruit in the season thereof, all these to be used with prudence and thanksgiving. Yea, flesh also of beasts and of the fowls of the air, I, the Lord, have ordained for the use of man with thanksgiving. Nevertheless, they are to be used sparingly. So that was all the section two. Don't be wasteful, do be grateful. And then the third section, go to church every Sunday. Again, there's a few scriptures quoted here. There's DNC 59, 9 through 10. And that thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world, thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacraments upon my holy day. For verily, this is a day appointed unto you to rest from your labors and to pay thy devotions unto the Most High God. And then we have Exodus 20:8 through 11.
I like that one. It talks about the Sabbath day and how you should keep it holy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And then also there's DNC 123:17. Therefore, dearly beloved brethren, let us cheerfully do all things that lie in our power, and then may we stand still with the utmost assurance to see the salvation of God and for his arm to be revealed. There was like a little subsection there that scripture was with, is to fulfill your calling cheerfully.
Which you, as the nursery music leader, you just got called to do that. That's probably fun to do cheerfully, right? Because those kids
Oh,
are so cute. Oh, they're so little and so sweet. I love it.
And then section four is give service to someone every day. And it doesn't quote a scripture, it quotes a hymn 223, have I done any good? I don't think I should be singing that here. But section five, read scripture daily. And the scripture quotes is 2 Nephi 32:3. Let me get that pulled up. All right. Yeah, I got the right one. All right. Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. And then in section six, this is the last one, don't worry.
I wasn't.
In section six, it says, pray personally and with your loved ones. And it quotes Alma 34:18 through 27. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, and in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you. And then at the bottom of the page, I'm sorry, I said that was the last one, but there is a little bit
It's
more.
okay.
At the bottom of the page, it says, oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord. And whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let all thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel with the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day.
So with this list that your dad gave you, I'm assuming, knowing you, that you've been doing these things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure if you're like me, probably not perfectly every day, but
no,
I'm trying.
It's definitely a trying to.
Yeah, yeah. But why do you think these are key to being happy? Because I think this list that you shared definitely falls in the line of it helps you think celestial, right? So why do you think in each and every one of these things helps you do that?
I guess let's start with section one. I know you don't have it in front of you, so I'll just read it to you. It's get up early. So I guess getting up early. Oh, and the subsections there are like get up every morning, pray, shower, eat a healthy breakfast, brush your teeth. Of course, there's brush your teeth on there. And then the second subsection there is put on the full armor of God and be prepared for a great day. And I guess you kind of have to be celestially minded to think about, hey, I'm about to go out into the world of temptation and darkness. I want to be wearing some good armor to protect me from that. Like, that's not something most people just wake up and think about.
Right.
And so remembering to do that. Oh, there's a scripture there that I forgot to talk about.
About waking up early?
I know. No, it's about putting on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
So, I really like how you shared all these, because this is really kind of, if you do the list that you talked about, then you're ready to be, well, you'll be thinking celestially because you're doing everything you should be doing, right? And then you will make celestial decisions. I like it. You have a really wise father for giving you that list.
Yeah, I love my dad.
Your dad's great. Awesome. You both of your parents are amazing. So I love some of the things in the talk that President Nelson covers. I really like. He kind of lists some pretty big, huge pitfalls that people can fall into that can keep them from being thinking celestial. And one of them, well, it's not just one, but it talks about any addiction. So gaming, gambling, debt, drugs, alcohol, anger, pornography, sex, or even food offends God. Why? Because your obsession becomes your God. You look to it rather than to him for solace. And I thought about that because I think sometimes, especially in the day and age that we live, it's so easy to get caught up in addictive behaviors, right? And instead of turning to the Lord and praying, like we talked about earlier, where you're really having a conversation with Heavenly Father to have him help with your problems and things, we turn to those addictions or those vices. And so that's one huge pitfall that I think in some degree, I feel like we all have issues with. And I don't mean like Some of us obviously don't have issues with gambling or whatever, but I know for sure I like my sugar. So if I'm stressed, stress eating is a real thing, right? So I think everything on that list kind of encompasses everyone to a degree. And then the other one that he pointed out is he said, for those who have made covenants with God, immorality is one of the quickest ways to lose your testimony. So he goes on to talk about moral purity and that the power to create life is the one privilege of godhood that Heavenly Father allows his mortal children to exercise. That is huge in our time and age right now. That is not a popular belief or thought. And I know you were talking about, I don't know if it goes along with what you were saying, but earlier before we recorded, you are reading Wendy Watson's book, right? It's
Yeah.
called, what's it called?
Spiritual truths about intimacy that will strengthen your marriage. Now,
Okay, and
we already established earlier, I'm not married yet,
no.
but
But you're in preparation for the bigger things. And so it's always good to be thinking ahead, right? Preparing ahead. And you were saying that there was a part in that book that you wanted to share that you liked.
okay, here in chapter three, there is a section that is called Impurity Has Highly Predictable Consequences.
I like the highly predictable consequences.
Predictable, yes.
We know certain things happen if you make certain decisions. It's just the natural consequences, right? So that's interesting.
Don't know how I missed this in the first paragraph of the section. I just looked right over it. The consequences of sin are sadly highly predictable. There are few surprises in a life that is under the influence of the adversary. As an example, research has now shown that if a dating couple would like to lessen their chances for their relationship to be a long-term success, all they have to do is have premarital sexual experiences. I mean, that kind of outlines it pretty well and clear that physical intimacy is something that should only be done between a man and wife who are legally and lawfully married. And that also kind of goes along with what President Nelson was.
You know, I think it's interesting because by the world standards, that's just not very popular, right? Not popular at all. And they're justifying it by, oh, we just want to make sure we're compatible. And we, even then, I mean, marriage is actually becoming out of fashion. But even before, it's very normal, very common to live together before you get married and things like that. But I like Wendy's comment here. This is thinking celestially, right? This is you take, if you obey certain things, if you obey the commandments of God, certain consequences will not happen. Certain natural consequences will not happen. You'll have greater relationship with your spouse when you do get married, and you'll work more towards a celestial eternal relationship than just in a relationship in this life. So that's really cool. I really like that. What I really like about what you've shared and like what we've talked about in this talk is, you know, President Nelson's just kind of summing up in this talk all the things that he's talked about before in all of his talks, in all of his teachings and things like that. So here's my question. This is my final question to you. So, if this were his very last talk, which I hope it's not, I hope in 2 weeks we're going to be able to hear him and he's going to be there, but he is almost 100, right?
Oh, yeah.
If this were his very last talk,
What a great note to end it on, really.
right? What do you think? I mean, out of all the things that we covered, because we covered some really great stuff. What do you think you would be most grateful to him for sharing this thought?
When you are confronted with a dilemma, think celestial. When tested by temptation, think celestial. When life or loved ones let you down, think celestial. When someone dies prematurely, think celestial. When someone lingers with a devastating illness, think celestial. When the pressures of life crowd in upon you, think celestial. As you recover from an accident or injury, as I am doing now, think celestial. I think that paragraph is so powerful that no matter what, problem that we may be facing, the answer is the same. Think celestial. Turn to Christ. Turn to our Heavenly Father. Our spiritual family who are there for us, and they know what we are going through, and they want us to be happy. Like you were saying earlier, as a parent to a child, you just want them to be happy and have joy.
It's true. And I, for me as well, I love if this were to be his very last talk, which I really hope it's not, but if it were, what a great way to end his life of teaching and service and helping us, because that's really what a prophet is, right? Helping us grow closer to our Heavenly Father and embracing the atonement of Jesus Christ. I love also parts of this talk where he talks about repenting daily. It's something that should just be part of your day. It's not just wait till Sunday and right before you take the sacrament, hurry and say a prayer and oh, forgive me for everything, but to repent every single day. And so every single day is a new opportunity, right? It's a new you, and it helps you to think celestially if you have that hope that you get from thinking celestially. So I love this talk. This talk is worth having all the stickers, and I'm hoping they're going to come out with like a bumper sticker or something. That'd be cool, right? Put on the back of your car or something. It says "Think Celestial," because that's really ultimately, I don't know about you, but ultimately that's where I want to be, is in the celestial kingdom and being with my loved ones forever. And I'm just grateful that we have a prophet that is helping us achieve that goal. Right, by telling us the things that we need to do. And he doesn't sugarcoat it. He shouldn't have to. But he's simple and he's honest, and he tells us this is the way. This is the way it's gonna, the way you need to be if you want to go to the celestial kingdom. I'm just really grateful for him doing that. And even after falling and hurting his back, he still recorded this talk and was able to share it in conference. So he's just pretty awesome. Well, Brayden, thank you so much for talking to me for
Of
this.
course, I had so much fun.
Me too. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discussed President Russell M. Nelson's address, Think Celestial. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get podcasts. You can find links to all our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org. ConferenceTalk.org is also where you can follow us on social media. Drop us a comment, check out the show notes, find the resources we mentioned in the episodes, and learn more about us, your hosts. If you want to follow me, Melissa Pagazza, you can friend me on Facebook. That's pretty much all that I'm in or on. And a big thanks to our podcast guest, Brayden Brinkerhoff, for joining us today. He also is getting ready to go on a mission, so he doesn't have much of a social media presence, but I'm so grateful to him for being on this episode tonight. While we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves. And remember, although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions. Join us next week for some more personal opinions on the Conference Talk Podcast.